Okay, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What kind of a verse is that? Why are we reading that verse today? Because we're talking about fasting. Because very soon we're going to experience living not on bread, right? Not living on bread, but trying to live on the Word of God and the presence of God with the joy and the sustenance that the Lord gives to us. And so we're going to take a short break from our series on spiritual gifts, and we're going to teach on fasting starting today. So I'm going to do part one. Next week is our Christmas service. We have our Christmas service early because a lot of our families travel during their Christmas break. So next week is our Christmas service. So I invite, encourage you to invite your friends. Pastor Sam will be preaching a Christmas message. And then 22nd is fasting part two. And 29th is fasting part three. And then we're going to start our 21-day fast. Did someone say, whoo, yeah, that's right, yeah, 21-day fast from January 2nd to January 23rd, okay? So I want you to look again to your neighbor and say, good looking, we are going to be fasting soon. Yeah, some people say it with joy, some people say it with dread. But I was talking to Stuart today, just before service, and we were saying, it's good to bring this message now so that we can prepare the church to eat as much as they can during the Christmas season because we're entering into our fast soon. But ever since the beginning of our church, Solomon's Porch, we've fasted at the beginning of the year. For 21 days, January 2nd to January 23rd. We break on January 23rd. So November 2002 is when Pastor Sam came with Lisa to Hong Kong and started ministering. They were invited by Hong Kong Korean Church to kind of lead this English ministry. Very small group, I think. Less than 10 people gathered together. And they were invited to lead this ministry in November 2002. And at the end of 2002, PSAM announced to that small group of people, hey, we're going to fast for 21 days, Jan 2nd to Jan 23rd. And the way PSAM tells the story is everybody in the group, they were shocked, right? They were like, you're joking, right? You can't be serious. We're going to fast for 21 days. And PSAM said, yes, that's what we're going to do. And so they fasted January of 2003, and then in February 2003, Solomon's Porch, Hong Kong, officially started. So our church, we began with this 21-day fast, and throughout our, I think, 17 years of existence, we've always tried to spend an extended time of prayer and fasting before we launched any new ministry. You know, we haven't done it for everything, but for a lot of the church plants, we begin after a time of fasting. Our house church ministry started after a time of fasting. For a while, when SP first started doing this, SP was known in Hong Kong as the fasting church. You know, I've heard that from different people. Oh, you're the fasting church. Nowadays, it seems like a lot of the churches in Hong Kong also do this 21-day fast, which I think is great. But for us, we've been doing it from 2003, and so next year, when we do this fast again, it'll be the 18th time. And I think Tom sitting back there, there might be others here too, but Tom sitting back there, this will be his 18th time doing this 21-day fast with the church. So it's incredible. It's really amazing. And you might be wondering, is there anyone here that has never, this 2020 will be your first time doing this fast with us? Oh, yeah, exciting. John, okay. Do I look forward to this fast? Do you look forward to this fast? Do I look forward to this fast? Yes and no. It's hard. 21-day fasting is not easy. I was listening to a few of the messages just to prepare myself for this, and Pastor Kenny preached, I think, a few years ago, and he said, basically, the way he looks at the calendar is based on the fast. So when it comes to June, he thinks, okay, we have about 6 months before the fast. When it comes to November, it's like, okay, we have 1 month before the fast. So that's how he looks at time, right? So, yeah, it's hard, definitely hard, but I am looking forward to it. As hard as it is, I also love it because of what it does for me. You know, I love that when I have that time, it's in a way, we are forcing ourselves to do it, but when we force ourselves to partake in this activity, this discipline together, there's so much benefit. You know, I know that in my heart, I get a little bit more sensitive to God. In my mind, I feel a little bit more clearer in hearing from the Lord. And I just feel, I mean, my body feels lighter, and my spirit, I feel like I'm just a little bit more sensitive and a little bit closer to God, and my mind feels a little more clear. I'm not as distracted. I'm able to set aside some time just to devote that time to God and to prepare myself for the year. You know, so as hard as it is, I do, I love it. So I love it. I look forward to it, and I don't, but I know that it's going to be good. So I want to say to us, you know, SP, let's go for it, you know? Let's do something radical and exciting for God. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, oh man, how old was I when I first started this fast? And I was 23 years old. It was 2005, because I came to SP in 2004. And then come 2005, P. Sam, you know, at the end of 2004, he said, we're going to fast. And I was 23 years old. And I remember at that time, as a 23-year-old, having grown up in church all my life, but not really having done anything significant for God. You know, I didn't feel like I was significantly connected to God, and I had done anything radical, you know, extraordinary for God. And when this fast was announced, I remember I was excited. I thought, wow, this is crazy. What a crazy pastor, what a crazy church. And this is awesome that a whole church, I mean, probably 50, 60 people at the time, we're all going to fast together. We're all going to give up food for 21 days and seek God together. And I thought that was awesome. And I was full of anticipation. And that fasting time, even though it was very hard, it was also very fun because we did it together. And we supported one another, and we suffered together, you know, and we enjoyed God's presence together, and it was exciting. So I just want to say, you know, let's get back to that time, because I know some of you, for Tom it's his 18th time, for me it's maybe my 15th time. Some of you, you've done this over and over and over again, it feels a little bit routine, so let's get back to that place of being excited. And anticipating. And maybe you need to change some things up. You know, maybe if you've been doing a certain fast, why don't you change it up? Why don't you take it to another level and just push yourself a little bit more so we can do something radical and exciting for God. Can I just ask, is anyone 23 years old here? Man, is anyone younger than 23? One, cardia, good. Let's go for it, right? Let's get excited. And I was 23, but the whole church was about 23, 25 at the time. And we're all excited. We're all anticipating for something from God. You know, we were excited because we got to fast. We're excited because we got to sacrifice something for God that meant something for us, right? So let's get back to that place. If you are a member of SP, you're invited to join with us. Even if you're not a member of SP, if you're visiting us today, actually there is no visitors apparently today, but even if you're listening online and you're not part of our church community, of course you're invited to join. But if you are a member of SP, I mean you consider yourself to be a member of SP, then you are invited and encouraged and strongly encouraged in some ways to join us in this fast. Okay, so we're going to teach on it for these next three Sundays. And it's really an opportunity for us to set aside some time to begin 2020 well, right? We're going to set aside this time to seek God, give our year to the Lord, so that we can start the year from a good place. Amen? Okay, so I only have two big points today. That's good. One, I'm going to just talk a little bit about what is fasting. I know most of us know, but we're going to discuss it a little bit. What is fasting and how do we do it? What is fasting and how do we do it? So what is fasting? Number one, it's not a hunger strike, okay? We have to understand, because when I first learned about fasting, that was my idea of fasting. Like, I want something from God. I want a better job, or I want to be married, or this happens a lot in Korean churches, right? Korean moms want their children to go to Harvard University, right? So they start fasting, and they go before God early morning prayer every day, and they say to God, I'm fasting for you to do this for me. And that's kind of the way I understood it. Like, it's like a hunger strike. God, I'm not going to eat, right? I'm twisting God's arm and saying, I'm not going to eat until you do this for me. And we can't twist God's arm. His arm is not twistable. You know what I mean? Who do you think you are to try and twist God's arm? He could, you know what I mean? He could flick his finger and we would all be dead. There's no bargaining with God. And so it's not a hunger strike. We're saying, God, if you don't do this, I'm going to starve myself. So that's not what fasting is. So what is fasting? Fasting is to change us. Fasting changes us, not God. Fasting changes us, not God. It's a way for us to humble ourselves before Him. Right? It's a way for us to humble ourselves and to recognize, man, God, I am so weak. Especially if you engage in a food fast where we're skipping a meal or two meals or all three meals for an extended period of time, you feel weak. And you realize, oh man, I am so weak. I am so dependent on food. I am so dependent on this thing to give me joy, to give me life, to give me strength. And you say, God, I'm so weak. We humble ourselves. And we say, Lord, I need you. I am weak. I'm so dependent on you. Fasting changes us. It's a way for us. I think it's a way for us to get serious about our commitment to God. Right? There's something about doing something in the physical that translates to what, you know, something in our heart, right? In our heart, I mean, how often do we come to church? Even today, we sing, Christ is enough for me. Well, is he? I don't know. But fasting gives us an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm serious about that. When I sing that, I'm serious about that. So I'm going to give up this thing that is precious to me, and I'm going to live like Christ really is enough for me. We're getting serious about our commitment to God because we're showing God that we are willing to sacrifice something beautiful, something good, something desirable. Again, back to Korean culture. I don't know why, but I mean, I don't even know if this is true, but in my mind, when I think of Korean students, high school students, and they make a determination to study, what do? They shave their head. Is that right? Isn't that a thing? Don't they shave their head or something? No, is that a thing? I just made that up. But can you imagine some people doing something like that? They're doing something to show that they're serious. I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to skip food. You know, I'm going to not take a shower. I'm just going to get serious about this thing. And I think fasting, in a way, is a way for us to do that. I mean, we see that throughout Scripture. When people are in a dire place and they want to demonstrate to God that they're serious about their repentance, they're serious about clinging on to Him, they fast. And they do something in the physical to express something that is in their heart. So when we're fasting, we're saying to God, you know, I am hungry, but I am more hungry for you. Right? We're saying, I'm serious about my pursuit of God. I'm hungry, But I'm more hungry for God. So I'm going to set that aside. I love food, but I love God more. I love food. I love eating and going out and hanging out and fellowshipping, but I love God more. I'm getting serious about my love for God. Okay, so that's fasting changing us. Fasting changes us. It's a way for us, lastly, how it changes us. It's a way for us to remove all the things that usually take our attention away from God. It's a way for us to remove all the things that usually will take our attention away from God. For example, it is easier to be satisfied, to eat something and to feel satisfied, right? It's easier when we're not in a good place and we feel a little down, when we feel like a little far away from God, we're not, you know, doing so well. It's easier to go and get a nice meal, go get a thing of pizza, go get some chocolate, go snack on something, and immediately we feel happy. We're like, oh, I'm satisfied, I'm doing okay. And we kind of self-medicate, right? We forget about the hunger that is inside of us. It's easier to turn on the TV and watch a funny show. You know, when you're feeling down, you turn on their TV and you watch an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you're going to feel happy. You'll be like, wow, that's so funny. And your mood is lifted and you think everything is okay. But you're not truly satisfied. You know what I mean? Even when you eat something and you have that momentary pleasure, you watch something, you have that momentary joy, but you're not truly satisfied, pretty soon that feeling of satisfaction will go away and you're going to find yourself in that place of need again. And there is something, some kind of a yearning, a void in your heart that is calling out to God, but it's easier to go to food. It's easier to turn to sports. It's easier to turn to the internet. It's easier to turn to social media to feel lifted. So what fasting does is it eliminates these things and puts us in a place where we feel crappy, right? It eliminates these things. We're forcing ourselves to eliminate these things so that we find ourselves feeling so bored. I'm so bored. I can't watch this and can't watch that. What am I going to do? And as you sit there in your boredom, you begin to realize, oh man, I'm deeply messed up inside and I have these issues. You know, I'm addicted in a way, right? I depend on TV, or I depend on food, and I depend on this and that. And you realize, man, I'm so in need of God. You know, it forces us and it leaves you in a place of dissatisfaction, which hopefully, if done rightly, will, you know, make us turn to God. So that's what fasting is. On the one hand, we fast because we are hungry for God. Right? On the one hand, we fast and we're willing to give up all these things because, man, God, I love you so much and I'm hungry for you and I pursue you more than these things. We fast because we love God. On the other hand, we fast because we don't love God enough. We fast because we love the world way too much. Right? And so we force ourselves and say, God, I'm fasting because if I don't, I'm just gonna be connected to the world too much. I'm just gonna be distracted too much. I don't find in my heart a hunger for you. I don't find in my heart a desire and a longing for you. And so, Ben, I better fast. I better put away these things that take that away from, you know, take that love and affection away from God, so that I can feel that love and hunger for him again. Okay? So, this kind of fasting, which I think is more how God wants us to do it, is not, God, I'm fasting and I'm not going to eat until you send me to Harvard or until you give me a job or until I get married. This kind of fasting, it changes us to a place where we say, God, I'm yours. I surrender Harvard. I surrender this job. I surrender my marriage. I surrender this breakthrough and that breakthrough, and I just want to find you, and I want to be with you, and I want to trust you, you know? So that's what fasting does. This is how SP defines fasting. If we can look at the screen, please. SP's definition of fasting is giving up the legitimate pleasures of this world for the extreme pleasure of knowing God. Giving up the legitimate pleasures of this world. So it could be, I mean, all these things that we're giving up, food, you know, TV, entertainment, social media, these things, sports, or whatever else you choose to give up, it's legitimate. There's nothing wrong with it. But we're giving them up for a short period of time for the extreme pleasure of knowing God. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I want you to look at the last line there. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I believe if you joined in with this fast and you truly did it, you gave up something that is meaningful to you, sincerely seeking for the reward of finding this extreme pleasure of knowing God, God will see it. Your Father will see what you do in secret, and He will reward you, right? So the Father will see what you're doing, and He will reward you. And so as we do this together, this is what we're doing. We're giving up something legitimate for a period of time so that we can be rewarded with God, with more of God, with a greater knowledge of Him, to feel more connected to Him. Amen? Okay, so that's what we're doing, fasting. How do we do it? How do we do it? In SP, I mean, this is not how do we fast in general, but this is how we do it in SP, okay? How do we fast in SP? 21 days. If you want to fast longer, you may. There was 1 year, just 1 year, out of our 17 times together, PSAM felt that we needed to tithe the year. So we fasted 37 days? 36? 37, because we rounded up. 36 days? But that was just one time. I don't. Everyone was, I think, was like, really? We're going to do 36 days? So we just did it one time. I don't know why we haven't done that again. But we've been sticking to 21 days, 3 weeks. If you want to do more, feel free. I've done, in my 15 times of fasting with SP, I've done a 40-day fast twice. So I extended my fast two times. Once before I became full-time pastor here at church, and another time before I got married. Both times because I thought, man, I need extra measure of God's grace to do this well. You know, to do marriage well, I thought, man, I'm going to dedicate this marriage to God. And to be a good pastor, I thought, man, I really need God's mercy. And Jesus fasted 40 days before He began His ministry. So I thought I should fast 40 days to begin my ministry. But all the other times, it's 21 days. That's what we do, 21 days. We start on Jan 2nd, okay? So we give you a grace day, Jan 1, to enjoy with your family, have your New Year's celebration, have a good time, and come January 2nd, we start fasting. And every day, Monday through Saturday, so not on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, we come together, this is very important, we come together for early morning prayer at 7 a.m. here. 7 a.m. every day, Monday through Saturday, we come together for a time to hear a short word and to pray for the church together and then for you to spend some time with God. Okay? You have to come. You have to come. If you're fasting, but you're not praying, it's just dieting, right? That's one of the sayings. Fasting without praying is just dieting. That's good. You'll look better and you'll feel healthier, but the spiritual benefits of your fasting, you'll lose it if you don't come out and pray. Okay, so come and pray. 21 days. It's not a long time. Monday through Saturday. And you have to come. Side note, fasting for 21 days is not harmful for your body. Let me say that. Fasting of water only for 21 days is not harmful to your body. Right? A lot of people, even you, are probably thinking, no way, right? No way. There's no way that not eating anything and just drinking water for 21 days is not harmful to your body. But I encourage you, go and do some research. All you have to do is Google, is fasting, benefits of fasting, or is fasting harmful? Water fasting, 21 days. And sight after sight after sight, you're going to see, man, it's proven to be beneficial. If you look in our sermon archives, Pastor Sam talks about this documentary, BBC documentary, Michael Mosley, who went on this fast and got healthier and got smarter. Pastor Kenny mentioned another article that he was sent by another church member, basically that says you will get smarter. Something happens in your brain and you get smarter, okay? I didn't understand all the science behind it. I came across an article that was a lady whose name is Karen Nielsen. She writes for this website, medium.com. I don't know if you ever read that website. I just came across it. But she wanted to raise funds for this cancer foundation because her father had cancer, and she wanted to raise the funds. And she thought, what's one way to do it? I'm going to fast 21 days. And when she decided to do 21-day water fast, because she had already done a lot of research, and she said, man, this is good for me. So I'm going to do it, and it's going to raise funding for this fund. And when she told people exactly how you would respond, maybe in your heart, like, you're stupid, you know, you're crazy. How can you not eat anything for 21 days? Nobody can survive that long without food. You will do irreparable damage to your body. You won't be able to work. All these things. And she said, you know what, I've done my research. I think it's going to be actually good for me. And so she set out to do this 21-day fast, and she wanted to prove her friends wrong. So what she did was she took like a blood test and some body examination before the 21 days, and then after the 21 days of water fasting, she took it again. And, I mean, I'll just give you these names. LDL cholesterol, which is different from normal cholesterol, because that was another category, okay? Albumin, which I don't know what that is. Bilirubin, which I know, which is gives you jaundice for kids. So that's a bad thing. And ferritin. All these things that her blood test examined, and all of her levels were in orange, which meant slightly too high. Right? She sent this to this website, and they did this measuring, and then they said it's all of these slightly too high. After 21 days of fasting, all of it turned to green. All of it was healthy, and she was in better shape. You know, obviously she lost weight, she looked better, felt clearer. And like I said, personal experience, you just feel healthier, and your mind clears up, and you don't have, you just don't feel like bogged down, you know? And sometimes you just feel heavy and lethargic. All of that goes away as we enter into the fast. We'll have to go through some phases, but as you do that, you find yourself, actually, you're much healthier. You know, Pastor Sam always says when he teaches on fasting that when he first taught fasting, inevitably the parents of the church members would say to them, What kind of a church are you going to? Who is your pastor? I'm going to call him. Is he a cult leader? Blah, blah, blah. Well, my parents didn't go to that extreme. But my parents offered a very silent objection, right? When I told them we're fasting, they would just go, oh, 그래. You know, like, oh, really? Okay. You know, just they won't say anything. You know, my parents are like that. They won't, you know, they know not, they know they can't control us, so they make these silent objections, you know? Oh, okay, just think about it, you know, like, just make sure you know what you're doing. And I could feel it, and, you know, even our GP that many of our staff members go to in our church staff, she's a Christian, but when we tell her that, oh, fasting is coming up, she always gets frustrated with us, and she says, you guys are so crazy, you know, you're doing damage to your body. But I think she just doesn't know. A lot of people just assume because it sounds so crazy, but it's actually very beneficial to your body. And, you know, PSAM always says, fasting is biblical. It's in the Bible. It's encouraged in the Bible. Why would God encourage us to do something regularly if it was going to harm our body, right? So if you're a normal, healthy person, you know, you don't have diabetes or anything like that, I think fasting 21 days, even just water, is actually okay and it's good for us. There are three types of fasting in the Bible. Number one, there's the normal fast. Matthew 4:2, this is when Jesus goes to fasting. He says, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. So that word, he fasted, in the Greek is nestuo, which basically means not eating. So a normal fast, when we say fast, and we don't have any qualifications for what kind of a fast it is, typically that just means a water fast, meaning you're not eating anything, you're only drinking water. Okay? In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, it says, Jesus went away and he ate nothing. He doesn't say he drank nothing. It says he ate nothing. So we assume he drank water. He wasn't thirsty, but he was hungry. So he drank water, but he didn't eat anything. That's a normal fast. Some people in our church engage in this normal fast, in this 21-day fast. Pastor Sam has done it, and one of our brothers at church, Tim. If you guys know Tim, you know this. Tim always does a water fast, and Tim is already skinny to begin with. And so Tim becomes like just a stick figure during the 21-day fast, but he always does a water fast. And I've tried to do a water fast, but I always fail after a few days. The longest I've done is 7 days. You know, when I did a water fast for the first time, In my fasting experience, when I did a water fast, is when I actually dreamt of food. I still remember the dream. I don't remember the dream, the context of the dream, but I remember it was a Doritos chip in the dream. And I remember eating it in the dream and thinking, oh, this is so good. Isn't that funny? So a water fast obviously is about a lot more intense, you know, on your in your mind and your body and when you feel hungry, but it makes you feel more hungry, but it's possible, you know, people have done it. Many people have done it actually at church. So that's something that you might consider. Number two, the second type of fast is called an absolute fast. An absolute fast is when you abstain from drinking as well as eating. So you don't eat anything and you don't drink anything. We see this in Ezra chapter 10, verse 6, when Ezra is fasting and mourning, basically repenting in behalf of Israel. He doesn't drink anything. He doesn't eat anything. Esther will do this. Esther will call the whole nation to do this. When she is about to enter into the presence of the king and her life is in danger, but if she doesn't do it, the whole nation will be in danger. So she's going to go in, but she says, can you fast with me 3 days? 3 days, three nights, no food, no drink. And in Jonah, the king of Nineveh calls his city into this kind of fasting. This is an exceptional measure for an exceptional situation. Exceptional measure for an exceptional situation. Extreme measure for an extreme situation. When something is really dire, you might think about doing an absolute fast. But I think medically speaking, 3 days is maybe the maximum that you can do it, that you can go without water. I think our father did it one time. I don't even remember what the situation was, but it was an extreme situation, and he really wanted to seek God's face. And I remember seeing him after the fast, and I remember thinking, man, he looks like he's aged about 5 years, right? Because it was so hard. So it's very hard, extreme, but it's also in response to an exceptional situation. If you feel called to an absolute fast, I really want to encourage you first to talk to your house church leader, and then maybe even to talk to one of the pastors, maybe even talk to Pastor Sam. You know, because it is really an extreme thing to do, and it's very difficult for your body. But, you know, it could be that the Lord is leading us to do that, right? Maybe 1 day, 2 days. Okay, so that's an absolute fast. And the third type of fast is called a partial fast. And this is what most of us do during the 21-day fast. A partial fast is restriction of diet rather than complete abstention, right? Restriction of diet rather than completely abstaining from food. So we see this in Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 10, we see Daniel restricting himself to only a certain type of food, right? Only eating vegetables, only drinking water, not having anything desirable. And so a lot of times people call this a Daniel fast. But this is what we do. We don't abstain from all food, but a lot of us, what we do is what we call a juice fast. You know, we choose to drink juice, but we stick to clear juices, right? Nothing blended, and we drink broth, but we stick to clear broth, you know, not like chunky. You know, sometimes those soups from Pret, that's like a meal, you know, that's not drinking soup. That's, you're eating beef and chili and beans and stuff like that. So what we say juice fast or broth fast, you know, we're talking about clear juices, apple juice, you know, whatever, you know, just clear, nothing chunky. But some people will do a liquid fast, and that's what they choose to do. So they will also have blended, you know, smoothies, shakes, some thicker soup, you know, blended soup and things like that. That's, you know, those are all partial fasts. We're not really abstaining from all food. We're taking in some sugar, some nutrients and things like that. Or it could be omitting a certain meal of the day, right? Skipping breakfast, skipping lunch, skipping dinner, or only eating one meal a day. A lot of people do that, and they use that time to pray instead of eating and going out for meals. The infamous beef fast, you know, it always comes up, right? One of our church members a long time ago did a partial fast, but his partial fast was not, I'm not going to eat beef. That was it. I'm going to eat chicken, I'm going to eat pork, and I'm going to eat everything else, but I'm just not going to eat beef. And this person forgot that he was on a beef fast and actually ate a hamburger in the, anyway, we always make fun of this situation, but that could be a partial fast, right? Where you decide to omit a certain, you know, type of food. A lot of the times we'll do no meat, you know, we'll only do vegetables or raw foods or something like that. And the fourth category, I just called it other fasts, which is more of a modern invention, but it's things like the media fast, where we choose not to watch anything, no YouTube, you know, no surfing the web and things like that. The social media fast, right? Not using Facebook or Instagram and things like that. Sometimes people will do a sports fast. You know, if you're really into working out or playing certain sports, you might give that up for a certain amount of time to use that time to seek God and to tell God, I love you more than running. I love you more than basketball, things like that. Okay, so almost done. Before I end it, I just want to give you my advice to you, because obviously you're going to have to decide now. Hopefully this week, your last week of house church, you will discuss together, you know, what do you want to fast? And so this is just my advice to you. I just want to share with you kind of what has worked for me. Okay, number one, do the media fast. Okay. Let's make that, you know, don't make it optional. Do the media fast. One year I made it optional for myself. So I was going to fast. It was like, I'm fasting, dude. Like, don't bother me. But Pastor Kenny is the one that kind of He didn't call me out, but he just encouraged me. He said, you should do the media fast because if you don't, all that time that you have from not eating, you're just going to spend on the internet and watching stuff. And that was true. All of that dissatisfaction you get from not eating, right? You're in that place of kind of a need. You feel, I mean, most of us eat emotionally, right? So we're feeling down. We want to grab something. We can't. So what do? Well, let me just pull out my phone or turn on my computer and watch something. That does the same thing. It just gives me a lift, a boost emotionally, and it doesn't actually help me turn to God. And so I really want to encourage you, do the media fast. 21 days. It's not that long, right? And if you don't do the media fast, if you're anything like me, you will spend all your time just watching stuff. You're feeling bored, you're not going out to eat, you're going to watch stuff all day and fill yourself with TV, Korean TV shows, YouTube videos, surfing the internet, movies, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know? I encourage you, media fast. Number two, do something related to food. Don't just do the media fast. I want to encourage you to do something related to food. Because there's something so like primal about eating and food, right? It's such a basic need. And I think when you abstain from eating and you give up something that gives you sustenance and your physical body feels weak, that really helps us to kind of go to God. It really helps us to, because it's so tangible, right? It's so physical. Such a tangible weakness and hunger that you feel, it just helps us to express that to God. You feel that weakness and that dependence more. So I've always found that it's good to do something related to food. I mean, all of these other fasts are modern inventions. In the scripture, when they talk about fasting, it's always food. It was always giving up food. Giving up food and not, eating certain things. So I encourage you, give up something related to food. Number three, push yourself. Give up something that is significant to you. So what I want to say to you right now is, right now, you are thinking in your head, well, this I cannot do. I want you to do that. Because right now you're thinking, I can't do a water fast. No. Well, maybe you should do the water fast, right? Whatever it is you're thinking, I just can't do this, I want to encourage you to push yourself and give up something that is significant to you. I think if we want to truly experience the benefits of fasting, it's got to be a little hard. It's got to be something that is important to you that you're giving up, okay? So push yourself. Do something that right now you think you cannot do. But lastly, of course, pray about it and don't compare with anybody else, okay? So I've given you these advices, but you pray about it. You pray about it and you go to God and you say, God, I feel like this is something I can do. Maybe God will encourage you to do something else, something more. But just, don't compare. Don't compare. Don't look at what someone else is doing. You just do what you feel like God has called you to do. Something that happens, one of the things that happens when we're fasting is we start to lose weight. And for some people, that can become too much of a focus. The focus becomes on the weight loss and not connecting with God, right? Every day you look at yourself in the mirror. Every day you go on the scale. And you're like, oh, look at that. And you talk about it. So I want to encourage you. It maybe if that's the case, maybe your fast actually shouldn't be giving up food. Maybe your fast should be, I'm going to eat a healthy, meal 3 times a day. I'm not going to snack on stuff. I'm not going to do junk food, but I'm going to have a healthy meal 3 times a day. Whatever. It could be different, right? So don't compare yourself and do something else. Okay, I want to just end with one verse, and then we're going to go into a time of worship, and we're going to do communion. Proverbs 27, verse 7. It says this, "One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet." One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. I feel like so many times, so often in our church, myself included, we are too full. And so we despise honey from the comb. We despise even the presence of God. There is no hunger for the presence of God. There is no yearning for the Spirit of God because we're already so full. We're already too satisfied with everything else that we have in our lives. You know, even last night I was praying a little bit and spending some time with God in worship. You know, I had my earphones on. The kids were sleeping and I was worshiping God. But this particular song was a very long song. It was like a 9-minute song. Most songs are 4 minutes, right? And I was thinking, man, this song is long. Even in the midst of having this time with God, I thought, this song is long. I should skip to the next song, or, you know, I want to like do, you know, I just found myself, I mean, I was enjoying the presence of God, yet there was no real cherishing of His presence. Because I'm full all the time. You know, I'm full. I fill myself with all sorts of stuff. And honestly, my mind a couple of times went to Netflix. In that time of enjoying with God, I thought, man, this song is long. I should just go watch something on YouTube. Isn't that crazy? But because that's available to me and it makes me feel good and it fills me up to some degree, I thought, you know what? Oh, that's a long song, man. I should just do this. And I resisted. Praise God, I resisted. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to stay. I want to stay in the presence of God. I need to learn to cherish His presence. I need to learn to appreciate that He would come and appreciate the time I have with God. So I did another song and another song, all about 9 minutes long. And I thought, I want to stay in this place. And that's what fasting is. We're saying, I'm too full. I'm too satisfied. I'm too satisfied with all these things that there's no hunger in me anymore. And so I even despise, I don't cherish the things of God. I don't cherish my time with God. I don't cherish the presence of God. Okay? So, if I can ask Pastor Chris to come and lead us in a song. We're going to sing a song called Hungry. Hungry, I come to you. And let this be a prophetic song. No, not literally hungry. Well, come on, you guys know what I mean. Our physical hunger, I'm hoping, will sensitize us to our spiritual hunger. You know, we're too full. We're too full. And so even when honey is offered to us from God, we despise it. But when we fast and we remove these things, we're hungry. And even what is bitter is sweet. Even early morning prayer is sweet, right? Because we're so desperate and we've decided to not fill ourselves with sleep or food or entertainment. And we find ourselves saying, man, I need a touch from God. And even though early morning prayer, 7 a.m., is bitter in some ways, it's not easy, but it's sweet because I finally am hungering for something that, you know, that's truly going to satisfy me. So, yeah, that's the idea. Pastor John Piper calls it the deadening effects of innocent delights, right? Innocent delights. These delights are innocent. TV shows, food, whatever, sports. But if we just embrace them all the time and engage in them all the time without any thought to what it's doing in our heart, it has a deadening effect. It means it kills our soul. It kills our passions. It kills our zeal for God. It kills our hunger for God because we're just so satisfied and we don't even realize that our spirit is dying on the inside, you know, desperately crying out for something more. So, yeah, let's go before God. We're going to just sing this song. We're just going to respond. I want to encourage you to respond on your own, and then we'll enter into a time of communion. Thank you.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. And I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus.
Hey, just want to encourage you to fall on your knees, you know, as we sing that chorus. I think a physical posture, again, you know, it does something in our hearts. And it's a posture of humility. It's a posture of saying, God, man, I need you to do something. You know, I'm in need of your presence. I'm in need of your spirit to work in my heart, to change me, to wake me up from the deadening effects of innocent delight. So let's, yeah, sing that with you then. Does not run dry. yes, Lord. Oh. Yes, God. Yes, God. Just reminded of a song. It says, I know you don't come as easy as some, but I will watch and pray. You know, we sang, I will wait for you, I will wait for you. Sometimes with God, we have to wait. All these other things, it's easier. He doesn't come as easy as food, or as easy as entertainment, or as easy as sports, or whatever. But he's worth it, right? The satisfaction, the pleasure, the joy of His presence is so much greater. But we have to watch and pray, and we have to wait. So I wait for you. So God, we're going to start this fast soon, and I just pray that you will put that hunger deep inside, or awaken that hunger that is deep inside of our hearts, God. Lord, we repent of being so full all the time and despising even the things of God. Even times of fellowship with you, we despise because we're distracted with so many other things. And we're so addicted to these things, God, that we feel like, no, I need this TV show, or I need this food, I need this snack or whatever. And so we just come, we repent, we ask that you will awaken that hunger, God, in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have our time of communion. If you want, you can sit on your chair again. If I can have the ushers come up, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. Yeah, this time of communion is an opportunity for us to remember what Jesus Christ has done. And I didn't even make this connection until I was just reading this now. But Jesus has sacrificed his whole life for us. He gave us himself, his life, his blood was shed, his body was broken for us. And fasting is a sacrifice, yes, but it's compared to what Jesus has sacrificed for us. You know, it's such a small thing that we're giving up. So let's, in some ways, you know, fasting is a way for us to worship God and to show Him, God, I love you. I love you more than food. I'm so happy that I've been given this opportunity to sacrifice this for you. I love you more than food. You know, so let's, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, let's determine in our hearts to sacrifice something for Him as well. Okay, so as the ushers give you the elements, if you can hold on to it, and then we'll take it together.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Okay, let's pray. You can hold the element in your hand. Just pray. What a perfect song. Let's think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for the cross. And let's examine our lives. Examine our hearts. Let's come before God in humility. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice that you have made on the cross. Thank you for this opportunity we have to take communion and remember very tangibly, God, your body that was broken, the blood that was shed for us, God. And we thank you for this season of fasting that is coming up, where we get to sacrifice something for you. God, to tell you that we love you. God, to tell you that, man, I love you more. I love you more than food. I love you more than entertainment, God. And to make that commitment or that love, that confession real. To make that confession of love real to you, God. We sing all these songs, but now we have an opportunity to make it real, God, and to show by our actions, to demonstrate, God. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And stir our hearts, Lord. I just pray for a stirring up of hearts, God, that we'll be full of excitement and anticipation, God, that we get to do this for you, God. We get to do something a little radical, something a little bit extraordinary, God, something a little bit out there, you know, extreme for you, God, because you deserve it. And because we're hungry for more of you. And so I just pray, God, that you take away any kind of dullness, you know, any spiritual dullness, God, in our hearts, Lord, in regards to the fast. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's take this together. This is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Let's just sing verse 1 and of course.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Let's rise together.
Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing. Poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift.
Once again. God, once again, we thank you and we pour out our lives to you, God. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, I just pray for each person that you would speak to each person, God. Speak to each person about this upcoming fast, God, what they should fast and what it means for them, God, and what you want to do through this season of fasting. And I just pray that you stir up an excitement, anticipation, God, some joy and expectation for what you're going to do in this time. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let me just bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. If you want to receive prayer from our well team for physical healing or anything else, feel free to come forward. Thank you. Have a great week.